Can we do this whole podcast in Swedish?
We really should.
Can we subtitle the podcast?
I'll just put it all in the description and they'll just have to read it.
That's perfect.
Transcripts.
There you go.
So Swedish is just like,
I didn't hear them say that at all.
No, the most Swedish I've been exposed to over the course of my lifetime is from the Muppets. So I assume that's accurate. Okay. Swedish.
I think so.
Yeah.
And IKEA is Swedish, right?
I mean, some of those chairs are just named like Daniel and it's like, is that necessarily specifically Swedish? You know, Kallax. Okay. That's not what I call square shelves. That must be Swedish.
It's gotta be.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This one's going to be a Swedish one. So let's start it. I don't know how to start the podcast yet, so it'll either be really just aimless nonsense, but at least it didn't take too long, or something along the lines of, welcome to Late to the Movies. My name is Ben Holt, and this podcast where my friends and I get to fill in our movie blind spots. Each week, we'll pick a movie that either I or a guest hadn't seen before and really should have let the right one in by now. As you may have guessed, the title of this film is Let the Right One In. Sometimes when it's like a declarative statement as the title, it's impossible not to use that as that bit of the intro, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And our guests, your guests, everyone's guests, left, right, across your podcast aisle, we got Ray.
Hi.
And we got Greg.
Hey.
Hey. Yeah, we'll get into the movie. This is our second episode of Spooky Subtitles Month. For October, we always do horror, and I wanted a more specific theme this year, so all non-English horror. As we've already said, we're going up to Scandinavia, we're going to Sweden, the land of outdoor museums and a really old ship that was preserved because it sank in cold salt water or something.
And everyone looks pale, so you're not sure who the vampire is.
And that is all the things I know about Stockholm, Sweden. But this takes place in a place, it's like Villebrugge or whatever. I don't know. They say the name of the town a couple times. It doesn't matter. It's Sweden. It's late
cold.
2000s.
Dark, snowy.
I like this movie a lot. But before we get into it, have you guys watched anything good recently?
New season of Great British Bake Off is out.
Start watching the Bake Off.
Some Bake Off. Who, what are the people who are like hosting and judging now?
The host, it's Noel Fielding, has been there for a while.
Right, yeah.
And the new person is Allison something.
Okay.
I don't know, she's well known.
Okay, sure. That happens,
yeah,
for sure.
And then Prue Leaf and Paul Hollywood.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're British. It's a nice, fun little British show. I enjoy it.
I'm really glad that Noel Fielding is still on.
He's so funny. He's just so weird.
So weird. It's great.
Yeah. I like Noel Fielding.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch Bake Off, though. I don't have a lot to contribute to the Bake Off.
I think that's basically all we've
seen. Okay, cool.
I saw Elementals. It was
Elemental movie. Or Elementals?
I don't know. Whatever the Pixar
it's
one
elemental.
Is.
It's
is it Elemental?
God.
There's no S?
I don't think
such,
so.
Such a dad move.
Oh, God. I'm so old.
So old.
Well, it wasn't good.
He called it Inside Out the other day, so.
Yeah, that movie with the feelings.
Everyone's a different
defense,
color.
I mean, it's like abstract thingies and they're doing things. It was a movie. It wasn't very good.
Yeah. You did talk about that last time we did a podcast also.
Did I? Oh.
I think so.
When was the last time we did a podcast? Was it out? Maybe Ray talked about it. Ray saw it in theater.
Oh, yeah. I saw it in theaters. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've only seen it since it came on to Disney Plus.
Okay, I got you. I was like, I just remember talking about it because I think you did the same thing in Adam S.
Yeah.
Probably.
And we were talking about how, like, we don't know why Pixar movies don't appeal to us now that we're in our 30s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one didn't appeal to me in my 30s.
And it's a Pixar problem. It's not an aging problem.
Yes, definitely. Yes. Oh, okay. This isn't stuff we watch, but we're doing a free ad before we get in.
Oh, shit.
Huluween, have you seen?
Are you going to keep rhyming?
No, it's Huluween on Hulu.
Okay.
They have their own like little Halloween section. It's really nice.
Yeah.
They have them separated by scary, very scary, very, very scary. And we saw a lot of the movies you advertised to us in there. What was that one that was under very, very scary and now I don't want to watch it?
Skinamarink?
Yeah.
Yo.
Did you suggest that one to us?
Skinamarink's on Hulu now?
It's in their scariest section.
There. Everybody go watch Skinamarink because some of you will feel that it should be in a not even a horror section.
Really? They had it labeled very, very scary.
I thought it was really effective, but it splits opinions anywhere it shows.
They also have it separated out by creature. If you want to like...
Oh, that's fun.
Isn't that cool? It's very fun, yeah.
It's very fun.
They had like a werewolf and vampire and zombie, and then they had like a paranormal section.
Yeah, so we're probably going to dig into that a bit this month.
Yeah, I was very impressed with it.
Yeah,
I haven't really watched anything, so this is probably a more interesting conversation for horror in general. What is your creature of choice when you want something spooky?
Paranormal, for sure. That's not really a creature, but like hauntings and... possessions.
Ghosts.
Ghosts
or spirits.
Ghosts and demons usually fall into that same kind of category, so that kind of stuff.
That's probably what I go with too, but honestly after this I forgot vampires are so fucking cool.
They're not very scary.
No, but they're just a good creature. I think I like them because there's a lot of rules.
I like all the rules.
I like all the rules a lot.
It's fun.
It's good.
I like rules in movies in general because I feel like it puts everything together for me where I'm like, okay, I can understand things better. Vampires are just all about rules, so it's nice. I like that a lot. Really
we
cool.
were actually having a good conversation earlier today. Greg brought up because we were looking at the different creatures that were available that you could watch. And he's like, isn't it funny how if a creature is real, it is not a horror movie now?
So, like, if the creature is like a shark, it's not a horror movie. If it's a big snake, that's not a horror movie. Those are creature movies, but they're not horror movies. And then there's other creature movies that are, if the creature is not real, it's usually a horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah, like creature movie is sort of the kind of umbrella term for that type of thing. You know, they're usually more action-y than necessarily like suspenseful.
Yes. Yeah. Once it's a real creature, it's an action movie.
Yeah.
If it's like a fake creature, it's some kind of horror movie.
Yep. I think there's been a lot of movies we've done that can apply to that can be applied to. We did The Host last week, which is a monster movie. The reason I was deep in thought is because that's a mutant fish, but like fish exist and sometimes they get mutated. Not normally like this. So it's kind of on the line. I would say vampires are a big one for me, for sure. Love them vampires.
Is that your favorite? What's your favorite?
I also like ghosts and spooks and ghouls and spirits and stuff, but that feels like, if I want to be a little more specific, I'd go vampires, I think.
Yeah, I feel like as far as creatures go, vampires I think are the coolest, but most of the movies I've seen are like ghosts and spirits and stuff, but I think that's just things that are picked more.
Shout out for Nosferatu, which Anthony, who will be on later this month, really wanted to do. And I had to be like, it's a silent movie, so it doesn't count for this month. And the only versions you can have, all of the intertitles are completely in English. So like, I realize it's a German movie, but it's silent. No one speaks German in it. So
that's really funny.
Yeah. And it doesn't have subtitles. So...
this one,
we can't do it.
Really qualified. When we booted it up, it had two sets of subtitles.
Yes.
Yours was like that too, yeah. Had the English on top of the English.
I think last time I watched something on Amazon, I turned off the subtitles because it was also... because I watched The Host on Amazon also.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Favorite movie in that. That was going to be my follow-up. Your favorite one for your favorite type of creature. I would go with the oft maligned, but I seemingly reclaimed, at least by like the people on the internet, Bram Stoker's Dracula, which is Francis Ford Coppola's version of Dracula, with Keanu Reeves, and people make fun of Keanu's accent in it.
Oh,
but Gary Oldman is, we're going to talk about Gary Oldman a couple times tonight. Gary Oldman's Dracula in that one. Anthony Hopkins, Tony Hop, he's in that.
Oh,
Winona Ryder. It's a really, really good fucking movie.
Yeah, it's a good cast.
I've heard you talk about it a lot. I have not seen it.
I haven't either.
It is, aside from like one thing, almost entirely done with in-camera special effects, using like old stage tricks and stuff. And it looks incredible. What's your favorite movie in your chosen creatures thing? Ghosts and ghouls. What do you got?
Oh, I don't know. I was just thinking though, I really like werewolves, but I don't know if I know of any good werewolf movies.
I was going to say I like werewolves too, but I can't even think of a werewolf movie I've seen.
Well, I mean, you go with the classic, you know, Wolfman. That's the universal classic black and white Wolfman is well loved. American Werewolf in London is pretty good.
I haven't seen a lot of horror movies because I'm such a wimp.
Well, The Shining's my favorite.
The Shining is, yep, that's a really good like ghost one.
Ghosts or personal demons or a mix of both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One that we liked a lot was Sinister, I think was what it was, right?
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Kyle was just talking to me about Sinister, I think.
It's a pretty good one, actually, especially for like a newer one because I feel like...
A PG-13 newer horror movie. Yeah, it's good.
You got to watch out when you're taking videos of your kids, though. Bagul's going to pop up at them.
Yes.
Got to look out for Bagul's.
Bagul's. You got to watch out for Bagul's.
Yeah, man.
Bagul's like a demon thing.
It's okay.
Ghost.
I hope there's a new version of iOS out soon that does this, because I know on Android, there's like a feature in your photo app where you can magic erase Bagul right out of there.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, if he pops up in the background of your family videos, you can just like magic erase or him right out of the background.
Oh, he'll be upset about that.
Yeah, no, it's like, so if you have an Android, you're free from Bagul and his influence.
They should really make a commercial about that.
Yeah,
I'm surprised they don't.
Did. Wait, did you? Wait, am I the only person who saw the Bagul specific Android commercial?
Uh-oh.
Oh, God. Bagul's in commercials now. Anyway, I've never seen Sinister.
Really?
That's true.
I'm
just pretty sure the demon's called Bagul and he shows up in home videos.
Yes.
He doesn't. Until you mentioned, I couldn't even remember that his name was Bagul. And
it's
I like
funny.
That movie.
Made some kind of joke and I only remember the punchline being Bagul berries. Yes, I don't remember what the actual joke was.
There was
joke
a joke
was.
And Bagul berries. I don't remember.
Oops, all Bagul berries. I don't remember what the beginning was.
I think he showed up on the Captain Crunch box.
Maybe that's what it was. I don't know.
Anyway.
But I do like that movie.
That one's good.
Yeah, I've heard it's good. I don't want to not watch it. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, that one's good.
That one feels like the kind that I'd want to watch with other people. That doesn't feel like a sit down and let it like get into my brain kind of movie.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm just so lonely. You guys have built in other people and each other to watch those kinds of fun horror movies with. Anyway, I'm keeping that in though.
That's good.
I guess that one could have been like a good theater to watch, you know, like
probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
The kind of more like event feeling ones, I feel like are good theater watch. It's like who's ever sat down by themselves to watch a Paranormal Activity?
Right.
Very fun in theaters back in the day, though.
That's kind of how I feel Sinister is, too. I feel like it would have been fun in theaters.
Apparently, the more recent Paranormal Activities are like, there's some more depth to them and people actually like one of them, but I don't remember which. Let's get into Let the Right One In. So this was, I saw it earlier today, only for the second time in my life. And the first time was either the fall of 2011 or spring of 2012, because I remember exactly what apartment I was in when I watched it. And that's the only time I was living there.
That's interesting.
So it's been at least, you know, 11-ish years, 11, 12 years since the last time I watched it. It had a big impact on me. That's probably overstating it. I found it really effective back then. Like it definitely stuck in my memory. I remembered a lot of sequences very specifically because I thought it was, it kind of blew me away back then, and it did today too. I don't know how you guys felt. Or you haven't seen this movie before. That's what this section's about. And then also, did you like it? Because I guess we're doing that now.
Yeah, so I haven't seen this movie in over 32 years.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. And I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good. We'll get into it. But I feel like there was a lot that worked really good in this movie, and I thought it was really interesting and kind of unique. Was not very scary, but that's okay.
Yeah, by design.
For you. It was an interesting one. I don't know. When the movie was over, I was like, huh, okay, that was fine. But then I kept thinking about it. So like, you know, we watched this, was it last night? And I feel like I was thinking about it last night and I was thinking about it today. I was like, oh, you know, I guess it stuck with me and it's better than I thought because I'm still thinking about it. So
okay.
I feel like I liked it a lot while we were watching it. I feel like I was really sucked into it. And even when it ended, I was like, oh, I feel like there's a lot I can think about on this movie.
Yeah, that's what I was impressed with. It was like afterwards, I kept thinking back on things that had happened and I was like, oh, I think there's a lot of depth here that I missed while I was experiencing it. You know? Yeah.
It's pretty low budget, but I think they create some really awesome images with very subtle use of a couple CGI things, and then also that cat scene.
Okay, the cat scene was the only one that was kind of bad.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we don't need that. That probably lifts right out, that whole lady's story, but yeah. But it does end with one of the best images in the movie. But we'll get to all that. Mm-hmm. You want to give us a 1-minute plot summary?
I forgot this was a thing. I'll try. I don't know if I'm going to get all the order right on this.
Not a ton happens.
Not a ton happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so our movie starts out with Oscar, our Swedish Oscar over here. He's kind of ostracized. He's being bullied at school. He's planning on killing them, I think. A creepy girl and a man move in next door. He starts like seeing her out on the jungle gym at night when he goes out. It seems like night comes pretty early in Sweden. He kind of makes a friendship with her. It kind of becomes romantic, but they're like 12-year-olds, so it's not like super romantic. You end up noticing right away she's weird. The man's like murdering people and getting their blood. You find out pretty quickly she must be a vampire. She's killing people to drink their blood because she's starving to death, because the man ends up failing to kill some people and has to burn his face off so that they don't connect him to the girl. She ends up visiting him in the hospital and drinking his blood and then murdering him, but he seems like he wants that. The boy ends up finding out, Oscar finds out that she's a vampire and is upset about it, but then kind of gets over it once he realizes she doesn't really have a choice but to kill these people. Someone comes in, one of the husbands of someone she's killed, to kill her. Oscar saves her, but gets this guy murdered. And she realizes she has to leave, so she leaves. Oscar is almost drowned in a pool by his bullies because he had confronted them. And she shows up and murders them all, and they leave together on like a train. And that's the end of the movie.
Ah, young love.
Mm-hmm. I had a very similar love story to this when I was 12.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we all?
Yeah.
You just fell in love with an older woman?
No, vampire.
Oh, okay. yeah, as you were talking right before the plot summary, saying like, this is, you know, there's a lot to think about with this. It's kind of hard to judge exactly where to step in, but I'll say for me watching this for a second time and knowing where it was going and sort of focusing on not necessarily structure, but I guess just how it looked. I think this movie looks incredible. It looks so good. And there's a really simple thing it does with the central pairing and the rest of the movie is that there's so many scenes that are shot in from far away, like in wide shots.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks awesome. There's a lot of symmetry and it looks cool. And it's a lot of outside and snowy, looking through windows, looking through grates or looking through railings on that bridge that they go by a bunch of times. But then so many of the conversations between the two main characters are in like extreme close-ups.
Very close. Mm-hmm.
And it's like a simple thing. It's something you maybe just, you know, but I don't know. It works.
It works.
It's just like so intimate when it's just them. And it's very remote and cold when it's not.
Yes. I like that it's all snow too. I like all those close-ups of her. Is it Ellie? Eli?
Ely.
Yeah. Ely. It's kind of unpleasant looking a lot of times.
Yeah, well, she's like several hundred years old.
Yeah, it seems like...
Looks pretty good skin-wise, that considered.
I feel like she changes, though. Yeah. I think as she gets hungrier, her face... Something about her face never looks right. And they gave her unnatural colors on her eyes. Her eyes are like a gray.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird.
We're talking about an undead night creature here.
I like it.
Straight up creature of the night.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
It is good.
Yeah. Because I want her to be kind of... weird like that, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And her hands and her feet too.
Yeah,
they don't show them a lot, but they're also unpleasant.
Yes. And should mention, it looks really good. Not surprisingly, it is actually a cinematographer that you have seen stuff by, probably. Hoyte van Hoytema. This is one of his earliest ones. It's the first one in his filmography that I've heard of, but the fourth one that he's worked on, I think. So he's Dutch, but the first couple, I think, are Norwegian movies, maybe. But Hoyte van Hoytema, mostly known as, he's now Chris Nolan's guy. So he shot Oppenheimer, mm-hmm. Interstellar,
mm-hmm.
Dunkirk. So you know a lot of this guy's shit. Nope, he shot just last year. He's like the guy for IMAX now.
Oh, I mean, it's shot really well. It looks, the movie does look really nice.
Mm-hmm. And this was, he was like still in his 30s when he shot this. This is one of his earliest things. And so it's worth noting. That guy's awesome. And is probably going to win an Oscar in a few months for Oppenheimer. Yes. We'll see. Another movie with a lot of wide shots and then close-ups.
Yes.
But another one I was thinking about that would pair well with this when you said, like, it's romantic, but not really because they're 12, is this actually would pair pretty well with Moonrise Kingdom, I think.
Yes.
Yes, it is. It's funny because it is a romance, but like between 12-year-olds and they have like.
I think it's Wikipedia is romantic horror is the.
Which is an unusual genre.
There's a few in there.
Yeah, but it's fun. And yeah, it is weird because of that. But I feel like they do a really good job with it too, that it is just kind of like kids and like when he asked her to go steady, she's like, I don't want to, no, I'm not going to do that. And he's like, oh, she's like, but what does that mean?
Yeah.
And is anything different? He's like, no, it's the same thing. She's like, oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds nice then. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, you guys are 12. You guys don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. Ugh. Cool movie.
Yeah, it's a cool movie.
Because of all the ice and snow.
Yeah, a lot of contrast. Good stuff.
So going in, you might not necessarily have known it's a vampire movie or whatever, but pretty early... it establishes this thing that I love that it does, where something like objectively pretty shocking will be going on, but it's just very matter-of-factly presented. You guys were on the Silence of the Lambs episode. That kind of thing happens too. Like, stuff just sort of happens. And the first bit of this is the familiar, who I don't even know if he ever really gets a name.
I think he does, but I don't think
he's credited
it.
As something. Yeah. I don't know when they ever said his name. They must have at some point.
Yeah. Well, the cops definitely don't know because he did all that crazy shit to his face before he got taken in. He asks a guy the time and then, you know, gives him the chloroform or whatever and hangs him from a tree and starts bleeding him out.
Fucked up.
And that's pretty early on.
I was a little worried at this point because I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm able to watch this whole movie.
Yes. One of, I think, many indelible violent images in the movie that come up kind of just like, it's just a thing that is now happening. There's not like a music sting or anything. It just sort of starts happening.
Nope.
Yeah.
The guy is all business about it too.
Yeah.
And that.
He is. It's not like a passion thing. He's going to the store basically to pick up food.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, just kind of does the throat slice. They don't show it. All the blood starts pouring out.
I do like that, like a very low, you know, low difficulty kind of camera trick that he just like happens to position himself between him and the body when he does it. And then he's probably just putting like a blood pump on the guy's neck and turning it on.
Yep.
But yeah. It's, you know, and whatever, red food coloring and watered down ketchup or whatever is coming out of that guy. But,
I like that shit goes south immediately because we didn't know it was a vampire movie because when I was looking to pick, that was a consideration. I had to know the gist, like, is it a vampire or a ghost?
Yeah. Also, there's a couple versions of this that probably pop up and maybe some of the poster images are a little more obvious than others. I don't know.
Yeah, so I knew it was a vampire. So yeah, they show up in the middle of the night. He immediately puts like the cardboard over the window.
Right, yeah.
And as soon as they show up, they do that and like he's murdering this guy. I'm like, oh, they must have had to move because he got busted somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is the first thing they show him and he immediately gets caught again. I'm like, oh, damn, they're moving again tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah. Well, she's job. Yeah, she's really mad at him when he gets back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not only did you fuck this up, but also now I have to go kill people.
Yes.
And her first victim is the Joke, whatever that guy's name.
Yeah.
And this scene also looks awesome because it's from far away looking at the bridge.
Yes. When she's under the bridge. When she's like, he's kind of cautious about it too. Like coming in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The sound she makes when she like attacks is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is exactly, but it's just like so unnatural. I think it helps a lot that she's a 12-year-old girl. You know what I mean? Because it is a sound a 12-year-old girl cannot make. And then like even the noise of her like digging into them and stuff is like, I don't know. It's really good sound effects. They're gross.
But. Yeah. For noises 12-year-old girls don't make. And then also thinking about, especially makeup in a few scenes later, I was thinking a lot about The Exorcist during this too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, everything they do with her is really, really nice.
And then also when that one random lady was strapped down with like the leather, you know, wrists, whatever, restraints, I guess, on the hospital bed. Also was thinking about The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
The Exorcist Believer out in theaters this weekend. Critics say, fucking terrible. Worst movie ever made, say some critics. Half star out of 12 or, and, you know. Yep, anyway.
I like their little introduction. You know, Oscar's kind of in a bad mood because he's just sucks. And I think, what did she say? She says, I don't want to, just so you know, we're not going to be friends or something.
Yeah.
And he says, who said I want to be friends with you?
Yeah. Yeah. Because like you said, he's out there practicing or really fantasizing about standing up for himself.
Yes.
Which isn't just, hey, stop bullying me. It's, hey, I'm going to stab you.
I'm going to immediately stab you. I was a little nervous too the whole time because they keep, like the knife's in his pocket like the whole time. I was like, oh my God, what is this kid about to go on a stabbing spree? You know what I mean?
He almost stabs that guy, but he doesn't.
He does. Yeah, he almost stabs that guy.
I don't think he's going to be a very good familiar. He's not going to be able to overpower anyone. I know he can lift like 20 pounds.
But the scene where he's bench pressing like nothing.
Yeah.
Oh God.
But if he's trying to kill like adult humans, she's going to need to be doing that for herself for a while.
Yeah, maybe not the best choice there.
I don't know. I think it's an interesting question that's running throughout the movie. How much is this her recruiting?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So we were wondering
that. That's what I thought about
like,
a lot after.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of the central question of this movie because it is kind of romantic and it does sort of hit a lot of the same nostalgia and feeling sensations of Moonrise Kingdom. Another period piece, which should mention, it's the 80s, I believe, in this.
It's the 80s, but I'm like, sure.
And it is in a suburb of Stockholm, not in Stockholm, but the place there is a suburb. So yeah, what did you think? How much of this is her recruiting him? Because before they meet, she's already mad and is like, you're getting the sense that like this guy's out, you know, he's past his prime.
Mm-hmm. So I am sad and I want it to not be that at all, but I very much think that he has just been recruited. Like, I think it is.
I think so too. I didn't during the movie, but when I thought about it after, I was like, oh no, he was just, he was played here.
At the end, as soon as he's on the train with her, I was like, oh no, this whole thing was her like recruiting this kid, wasn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
And I really, it's tough because that's how I feel. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, I really don't want it to be that. You know what I mean?
As you know, I'm a romantic, but the best I can do is say it's maybe both.
Yeah.
It's definitely not 0% recruitment.
Now, what's the odds that other guy was 12 when she got him? Because that's the other thing I keep thinking.
I keep thinking that too.
I think pretty good. Maybe not 12, but like it's been a while.
Because he made that comment about how he didn't want her hanging out with him anymore. And like, I think he knew what was going on. And that's made me think like, oh, maybe he was 12 when he only
says it like tonight. And it's the night where he's going out with the acid so that he's like, this might be it for me kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I think he didn't want it just this night. Cause he's like, I think you had mentioned like, yeah, he's jealous about it. And he knows that he might die or, you know, things are going to be over for him tonight. So he wants like one night where he doesn't have to like worry about that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Cause I think he does know that she's maybe doing the same thing that happened to him.
Yeah. I also think like the way that she acts with him is like totally different than the way that she acts with Oscar. But I think it's like, I don't know. Cause you see him like her like yelling at him.
Well, and, she's his boss pretty much.
Right. Yeah. And she's like pushing him out of the way and stuff. And, I feel like, you know, is this going to be Oscar down the road? Like,
yes.
Yeah. Like he just got like recruited into this, you know? Yeah. I don't know. I think she just kind of groomed him.
Yes. I mean, yeah. So that's the other piece of it, is that probably that guy was around that age, because how, like, who else was, is she able to make friends with? Because she looks like a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wasn't going to, like, it wouldn't, if he was 35.
I don't hang out with a lot of 12-year-olds, I'll be honest. Yeah,
maybe. Know, they do that in Adventure Time, right? Marceline's like a 12-year-old vampire, and the 35-year-old Ice King comes and takes care of her.
That's a cartoon, though.
I know, but it's, yeah, it's not real
life. It's not real life like this.
Like this, yeah.
I mean, I would never be hanging out with a 12-year-old enough for me to be like, this person's real cool. I want them to be my boss.
No, definitely not. But maybe it was like a father figure kind of thing.
If
but I, once you know they're like centuries old, would that change the dynamic for you?
If I've hit a point in my relationship with a 12-year-old where I realize they're a vampire, it's because they've randomly jumped on me at night and are killing me.
Yeah.
Not because I befriended them so much.
Yeah. No, I do think like he was probably young and just grew old. And so. She was like, all right, this is it for you. I got to find someone new.
Yeah, and how many times has that happened? Because, you know, there's a plan, and it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I do think that is a lot of it, which is really sad.
Yes, because you're really with Oscar during the movie in his perspective, and so you're sort of caught up in, like, the young love emotion of everything.
Right.
But yes, once you're not watching the movie and you have a little separation from it, or you see like the ending or whatever.
I do think she might care about him to some degree because she does save him. But I guess that could just be because she needs him.
I was thinking that too.
But yeah. Like she doesn't totally need him. She could probably find somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Although it's not a lot of effort for her to save him either.
No, right? Very easy.
Yeah, she does come save him, so... I don't know.
But yeah, it isn't a lot of effort either for her.
No. I do want to clear out some time later to talk about that scene.
Mm.
Yeah.
But we've been doing pretty good at not just rehashing the plot beat by beat and letting the summary speak for itself and then skipping to different topics we want to. I think that's a big one. What's the intention here? What's the motivation?
Mm-hmm.
But I mentioned before that I do love a lot of the images in this movie. So any of that stood out to you in particular? So I mentioned before the lady that gets attacked by the cats. That's not my favorite image. I do like that guy who has all the cats clearly knows what's about to go down and like locks himself on the balcony.
Yeah. I want no part of this.
Yeah, I see what's happening.
How many times has this cat's done this?
Uh-oh. They're circling someone again. I'm on the balcony.
It's not even a vampire thing. He just has vicious cats.
It was unrelated.
Sometimes my cats just attack people.
Yeah, she was wearing perfume or something. Yep. Like,
nothing I can do about it.
Here it goes
again. Can't control them.
Okay. One thing I really like that I think kind of leads into this too is I already mentioned I like vampires because the rules. As soon as you realize it's a vampire movie, immediately all that's going through your head is like, oh, what's the rules? You know what I mean? I got to know. Because it's always a little different. You know what I mean?
They do a great mm-hmm. job of using the lore that they people just know about vampires.
So good, too. And they know that, like, you probably know some of it, but, like, it's always a little different. So it's like them, you know, every vampire movie, they got to cherry pick a little bit about, like, we're going to use this, not going to use this kind of thing. And I also love that they reflect it in Oscar, especially as like a 12-year-old. Once he realized she's a vampire, he's like, well, what are the rules? You know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, so I really like that because they really do slow roll a lot of them. Like you know what I mean? You know, there's something with the window because yep. they board it up and she's only out at night, but you don't know what happens if she comes out during the day. You know what I mean? And I like that they show you some things and kind of leave other things up to your imagination. Like a lot of those scenes are really good too, because I love the one where she scales the hospital.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. really fucking creepy.
Yes.
Because she's just like in the background that like someone, that's a really wide one too, where the nurse is in the parking lot like looking for her and you could just see her really quick like crawl up the building. And you're like, oh, what the fuck? You know what I mean? And she mentions she can fly and you see her like jump a few times, but you never see her fly.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you see her feet, they look almost furry or something at points. Like, does she transform into something? Like, can she turn into a bad. Like, her feet don't look right a lot of times.
A lot of times they're like covered in snow and stuff because she's barefoot all the time.
They're always dirty. Her nails are too long too. And her feet, she almost has like clawed toenails sometimes. Although not always. So that's why I was wondering, like, can she like turn into something? Like, what is she like? Does she always look the same? Like,
yeah. Does she yell bat and then fly away like in What We Do in the Shadows?
I haven't seen that. I hope so though.
Yeah. I love the rules. That mm-hmm. is one of my favorite parts about vampires in general is the lore. And then like when it gets broken and stuff is like, ooh, uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm always wondering what's going to happen. It's so funny because they like reflect it that way. Oscar, when he's, you know, inviting her in. I love too, the very first time she asked to come in, I'm like, oh, they do have to, she just has to come in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's not explicit, you know, right away.
And the movie's called Let the Right One In.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I love. I'm sure that like, that has a different understanding of what that necessarily means specifically in the original Swedish, but I feel like it's a really evocative title.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But even when there's that scene where she's coming into the house and she's like, oh, you have to invite me in. And he won't do it. Cause he's like, oh, is there something here? And I'm laughing. Cause I'm like, I want to know what happens. Cause it's always different, or a lot of times they're just like vague and they don't really explain why they can't, you know what I mean? Like, is she going to bump into something? I kept telling Ray that I hoped someone would accidentally bump into her and she'd fall in and just explode.
Yeah. Instead, she bleeds out of every orifice in her body.
Wasn't expecting
even
that.
Even like her back and like,
yeah, just kind of her scalp and yeah, stuff.
Gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really cool though.
Wait.
And then she just looks like that for a while.
Yeah, like clean yourself up, man. What are you doing?
Nope.
Yeah, yeah. Until she takes a shower, she's just like, yeah, that's what I look like now.
Yeah, she is way too chill about being covered in blood.
Yeah,
I was gonna say
that's when she like climbs on top of him and like turns into an old lady and says like, "Be me for a while." Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed she's very nonchalant about being covered in blood, especially after feeding. And I was just like, well, it must be normal for them. Like, they're a vampire. This happens all the time. But then I was also thinking, like, well, if I eat like a bunch of like slobbery chicken wings, I'm not just like, I guess I'll just stay like this.
No, use a napkin.
I immediately take out a napkin. So I was like,
this is what I'm up to today.
I guess I'm just covered in barbecue sauce today.
There's nothing I can do about it.
That's it.
No, until I take a full shower, but that's not for an hour or so.
But yeah, so I like learning about the rules.
It's the 80s in Sweden. They didn't have paper towels.
Is the only reason, oh yeah, and wondering if she bites people, they turn to vampires. I assume they did, because after she feeds on Jock or whatever his name is, she snaps his neck.
Yeah.
And she doesn't seem particularly violent ever. Like, she does, like, even at that point, it seems like she's only, like, the way her familiar originally is getting the blood seems like it isn't very, it's very like business, you know what I mean? So it kind of gives this impression
that
person's
she's knocked out and then he just slits her throat.
So it gives this, and she's also a small 12-year-old. So initially I'm like, oh, she can't be, I don't think she's gonna be hyper violent or anything. So when she snaps that dude's neck, I immediately kind of assume like, oh, I think she has to snap the neck to make sure he doesn't like turn to a vampire if he's alive still. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that, with the girl who does survive,
yeah,
is she only becoming a vampire so we can see some more things about like the bad parts about being a vampire?
I mean, maybe. She's the one who gets to sort of carry the brunt of like, if you are curious about the rules, what sunlight does to vampires in this world.
And I was curious, and I was like, is she just here for this? Because I'm all in on it, because I wanted to know.
Well, I assumed it was to show that she was like being sloppy.
Oh, okay.
It was getting worse. People were seeing her.
Yeah.
You know, she wasn't clean about it at all.
Yeah. That makes sense.
As unfortunate as it was that that dog ran into that guy right back at the beginning, speaking of like being sloppy and stuff, it was a very well-lit area.
Yes. As far as a forest goes, it was the least dense forest you could ever.
It was a not dense forest, and there seemed to be like street lights or something lighting the whole area.
Yeah, being people getting sloppy, that dude, he's the one who fucked this all up.
That's the problem. Yeah. He's getting old and slow.
Yeah.
Well, she knew it.
Mm-hmm. Cute dog.
Yeah.
Cute dog.
Ricky.
Ricky, yeah.
So he's out of the picture.
You remember Ricky's like, name, but you don't remember her.
He's a dog. Of course I remember.
I get it, yeah.
He's a good boy.
Just a weird poodle.
He's a good boy.
I don't imagine poodles in Sweden. I just don't. I don't know why. I wouldn't think that Swedish people have poodles. I don't know what that says about me. It's not an anti-Swedish thing. I just don't picture them having poodles.
Yeah, okay. I guess I don't know if I agree, but
I assume they just have reindeer or something.
Okay, that's insensitive.
That's insensitive. Oh, fine then.
Whatever. I do picture that they all look like vampires, but
well, very pale. I mean,
also pale. As well.
Yeah, we made a lot of comments about like how pale he was, and yeah, how they look.
She found a good place to hide.
Yeah, I think yeah.
We were also very like, I mean, like it's dark there all the time. Like that's where you want to be if you're a vampire, right?
Yeah. Ely's probably from like Miami or something.
Yeah. That sucks.
We gotta move to Scandinavia. We'll fit right in. I forgot exactly what I was gonna say, but that's okay. Yes, she turns into fire. We were talking about the lady who's turning into a vampire. Maybe the whole reason you do that whole plot line is because we're gonna have 2 seconds of really good CGI that we can afford. The conflagration that goes up to the ceiling and spreads
out.
Mm-hmm. Really good.
So, such a good scene. Because I was wondering, too, like, oh, is it going to burn? You know what I mean? The fact that she just lights up. And that's good, too, because it sets it up later. Because in the end, the other guy almost opens the window on Ely.
Yeah.
So, it's nice to know. Like, you wouldn't have had the same stakes if you were like, oh, what's going to happen if he opens the window on her?
Stakes.
Right?
Here it is.
Although I guess they don't talk about killing vampires, right?
No, but sunlight does it.
Yeah.
Sunlight definitely does it.
Sunlight works, yep.
Coming into a home uninvited also seems like it will kill them. Mm.
Just slower.
But yeah.
That lady lit up.
Awesome scene.
Great scene.
I feel like that and her climbing up the hospital, I think, are the two things that are most memorable and like stick out to me.
It happens before this, but speaking of climbing up the hospital, if we go back to after that guy acids his face and is in the hospital, his face is fucked up.
Yes.
He goes straight Harvey Dent.
He does. Nice. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, he's flipping coins. His came up tails, he jumps out the fucking window.
Yes.
Which was a little weird because you definitely saw him pour the acid like in the middle of his face, and then it was only one side of his face.
Well, you didn't really see the other side that much, but and I don't
it think looked normal-ish, but it did look like bubbly.
It looked a little bubbly, and the other side was just gone. But like he definitely poured it like in the center of his forehead.
That's who cares.
I care.
You wanted to just be like right where he poured it was just one hole that immediately just like went.
No, I just want more even distribution of the mangledness.
It's interesting because we only ever see her be kind of a dick to him. But even when he goes to kill for her again and he packs the acid, it took me, I was like, what's with the acid? And pretty quickly I was like, oh man, I think he's going to melt his face if he gets caught. Because he says something like, they've seen my face.
Yeah,
they know
people
I'm
know
here
my
with,
face now.
And they know I'm here with you kind of thing. So even though she's only been like a dick to him, he's still like, oh, I'm going to kill people for you still. And if I get caught, I'm going to melt off my face. And then he also is just like, okay, now drink my blood and kill me. And like, she's really got him fucking hooked, huh?
Yeah, that's why. That's is it like, do. Is it a paranormal kind of thing where she's got control of him, or is he just like in love with her?
They do a lot of lore in this one. They never touch on the attraction thing, but that is a part of Dracula, at least, is that there is like a supernatural sort of like seduction
slavery
thing.
Kind of thing, right?
Yeah. That it's, you know, the thrall, right?
Yeah, thrall.
You can enthrall people.
Now, am I the one who was upset that they didn't have her count things a lot?
Yes.
I think that is my favorite vampire rule that's always left out, is that they have to count things.
Yeah.
I want, and I'm sure it exists, I want a chart of all the vampires with like
what rules they follow. I don't think any of them follow the counting one, right? I don't think they ever make them do that.
Sesame
I guess
Street.
It's because I know he does.
Definitely one.
This one.
Weirdly.
The count.
Him. So the count. And then also Count Chocula.
Does he also have to count things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's like a real one. That's one of
only
the
because he does inventory.
Oh.
At the Count Chocula plant. he works for General Mills.
No, because that is a real
he's only a lieutenant.
Old school vampire rule. Yeah. They have to count things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why the
that's
salt.
Like if you're being chased by, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because you like throw down a thing that they have to count if you're.
Yeah. You had to put salt in front of your door because they couldn't come in until they counted all the grains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I literally, just knowing you, thought you were doing a Sesame Street bit for a while, and then I remembered, oh no, that is a thing.
It's a real thing, yeah.
That is a real thing.
It's just a really lame one, so they can't really use it very often.
Yeah, this action horror movie, this guy has to sit there for 45 minutes in real time, count like grains of rice.
I want to know which vampire has the most rules.
Oh, who has the most?
Yeah, because I know who has the least rules. And it's Vampirina from that kids show. Our daughter watches this kids show, Vampirina, and it's a family of vampires. And I swear, all
they've never touched on what she eats.
No, they don't talk about any vampire things that they can do, except she can turn into a bat. But, like, there's nothing else. They don't talk about, like, they don't eat blood, like, nothing. I don't know.
She goes out during the day.
Yeah, they're up during the day. And I think at one point she's talking about how she wants to be a human, and I'm like, why? There's nothing wrong with you.
She just sounds like a person who can turn into a bat.
That's it, right.
Not even a good druid, just that one thing.
Yeah, that's the worst. Bad choice.
I'm not going to spoil Salem's Lot, because I don't think you've read it. Yeah,
Ray has.
I read it.
Yeah. Oh, you did read it?
Yeah.
You haven't?
I'm not going to, though. I already spoiled the whole thing.
About
it,
yeah. So. That's whatever. So I was just going to say, we can talk about as far it. As rules go, so... If you know any scene from Salem's Lot, the Tobe Hooper movie, Tobe Hooper who did Poltergeist and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, he did a made-for-TV sort of mini-series of Salem's Lot that if you watch it on streaming, when I did at least, it was just pushed into one like 3.5-4 hour long thing. And I was like, this is crazy. It's like they showed it over 4 different days in when it actually came out. The one scene, maybe one of the most famous scenes from any King adaptation is the kid floating next to the window, tapping on the glass, trying to get the other kid to let him come in. That particular rule gets subverted in an extremely memorable scene in that book. It seems like just sort of like these lower level dudes can't come in, but like the main dude just like busts right into someone's house and fucks shit up at a certain point. And it's like, whoa, fuck.
Yes.
It's like, oh God, the rule. Yeah, it's pretty far into the book, and you're like, and there's been a lot of business about like, oh, one kid in town knows all the rules, and so he's helping there's like a team of survivors, and they're being helped to stay safe because this kid knows the rules, and it's like, uh-oh, the rules don't apply to the big bad. What do we do now? It turns out, I won't spoil it all, but it's a bleak book.
Yes.
It's a cool vampire story.
Yeah, that book's awesome.
It's funny that happens in that, because in this, when she like walks into the house and slowly starts dying, I'm like,
yeah,
she'll even die immediately. I was like, if I was this kid, she could
do some stuff.
I would be standing in the doorway laughing at this vampire, and they would reach in and snap my neck and kill me instantly, and they'd get like a paper cut on their finger, and I'd be sitting there looking like a dead idiot.
Oh, jeez.
Salem's Lot is the one that kind of introduced me to familiars. Like, I hadn't really known about them before Salem's Lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That one, they're basically like an old gay couple.
Yeah.
They moved to northern New England and opened a furniture store.
Yeah, an antique store.
Right, an antique store specifically. Yeah.
You do my shopping during the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting, though, because in that one, they did almost like the same mode of transportation where they had them like boxed up and like mailed them to the house, basically.
Very common way to do it.
Man, there's a lot of vampire stuff, huh?
Yeah, there's a ton. I think probably the most, I don't know, just because people think vampires are hot or people wrote vampires to be hot. There's not like sexy Frankenstein tween books.
I mean, the whole time watching this and she's like murdering people, I'm like, man, vampires are so cool.
Yeah.
They're just a cool monster, you know what I mean?
This one is very grounded, though. So even when she's murdering people and we all agree it's cool. Mm-hmm. it sucks, and she seems to be having a really bad time.
Yeah,
she just kind of leaps on people and is like,
yeah, and she's like kind of like, oh, I hate that I had to do that again.
Yeah.
I love how grounded this movie is, and how we haven't talked a ton about the pacing, but it is essentially like a coming of age low budget indie movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And also one of the main characters is a vampire.
Yes.
Yeah.
It just sort of has that vibe of it's not too hurried, not a ton of like big action things are happening, but then every now and then there's a really brutal murder.
Yes. I mean, it's just as much about Oscar as it is Ely. There's a lot of scenes without her, with just Oscar at school.
It's mostly an Oscar joint. This one.
Watching him do his water aerobics and his weightlifting.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's why it seems like such a romance, because it's like really from his point of view.
Exactly. I think that's. Right. I do think that's intentional.
Right. Yeah. Like, if it wasn't, would it have been a romance?
If you're just observing this from the outside,
yeah,
probably not.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question for you guys, and I was thinking about it during this movie. She's stuck as a 12-year-old. And I was like, that sucks that she's stuck as a fucking 12-year-old. Because it's like, you can't even like go to a store alone without people questioning you. Right? Especially at night. Like, you can't go anywhere at night. So if you get turned into a vampire, what age do you want to get turned to a vampire at? Because I did turn a corner at some point and then decided that like being 12... you're pretty low on the list of suspects for brutal murders.
Right. I was thinking even younger.
You want to be like a little kid?
Yeah, but like, do I still have the brain of a little kid?
I don't think so. She seems... I feel like with Oscar... So I was confused about this too, because especially when she's talking about going steady and like, she kind of acts like she's on his maturity level, but then when she's like yelling at the guy... she doesn't seem like it. So I'm like, is this like kind of a bit of an act? Because I mean, she is probably thousands of years old or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she seems smart. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I assume she's got the, you know, mental capacities of an adult, but I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think that's totally right. You don't get a lot of her interacting with anyone else, but it's definitely like her personality is different with the adult that's known her for decades or whatever.
Yeah. But I still don't think I want to be a kid.
Yeah.
Maybe at least old enough to drive.
I was going to say, I mean, you're like, you're an undead person. You're, you know, you don't feel feelings and whatever. You'd probably go 40s, 50s for me, I think.
Yeah. That's.
And then you're like distinguished. You can go lead a company or something. No one will question it. You could run for president.
Yeah. But you are in prime suspect range for murders, probably.
That's just going to happen as a white man, so I don't really have a choice, you know?
Well, not if you were 8.
Even then.
You'd be very low.
Kids these days.
Kids these days.
I wouldn't be like the first call, but like...
Was she trans? Was that a thing?
Oh, I don't know. She's not a girl.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I just assume she meant...
According
to her. She's a vampire.
Yeah, but then they showed that scene where she was undressing and she had like a scar.
In my mind, I'm just like, it's just some vampire shit.
I just thought it was vampire shit.
Not my business.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I have no idea.
Because it would definitely be more beneficial to, I mean, age 12, I guess it doesn't matter. But now you're saying like, oh, if you're a white man, you're going to be a suspect. And it's like, well, if you're a female, you could definitely like prey on people easier. Not that that probably factored into that, but.
I feel like if your plan is to like, enthrall like that, being able to being a kid like 12 and enthralling 12-year-olds might help, because now she's got Oscar for like probably 60 years or so, right?
Yeah.
Or until he fucks up like that last guy.
Yeah.
But Oscar's pretty useless for a while too. He's not going to be murdering anybody.
No. They're going to just have like training montages.
I mean, she's only got to wait like what, 6 years before Oscar can start killing people for her? 6 years is probably nothing for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't seem like she needs to like feed that often.
I'm going to be honest. They don't give you much of a timeline of how long this is taking, but I assume she was eating like every couple of days,
which
is pretty often that you have to murder somebody.
It's only the first time that it seems like she's having hunger pains and stuff. The other times are because Oscar plays that thing all wrong where he tries to do like the blood handshake.
Yes.
And then she's just in blood frenzy mode. And that's when she attacks.
Yes, that's
the
true.
Lady. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the guy in the apartment's more self-defense.
That's true. Yeah.
I have no idea why I thought
but she
once
only
a
like
month,
goes out and hunts
I don't know.
One time.
You're right. It's just that one time.
And then she also gets the stuff from the guy before he dies in the hospital.
Yes. So she does eat a lot. She eats four times.
Yeah.
In what feels like a couple weeks.
I think a couple weeks is right on.
Yeah. That's a lot of feeding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is just more, she's obviously more interesting than Oscar, who's just normal 12-year-old boy. I do feel like we're talking a lot about her, and there's definitely a couple scenes I want to hit on with Oscar. But what were you about to say?
One more scene that stuck with me: her licking the blood off the floor there.
Yeah,
because she
not her fault. He played that.
She's
all
fucked up looking in that scene too, right?
I think she looks up and she's like a middle-aged or older lady.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's all fucked. Yeah, she looks not right. And I love that she does that and like crawls away a bit, and he's there just kind of like, oh no, I did something. I'd be like, Oscar, you really should be really evaluating this situation a little bit differently here, man. I know you're 12.
Yeah.
But this was strange. But he does like connect the dots there, actually.
Yeah. That's I think the next scene with them
is him accusing her of being a vampire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which
that scene's awesome.
For any one who is an adult, that is quite a leap. I would have been like, I understand she just licked blood off the floor, but I don't think I'd be like, this person's a vampire.
I mean, she's tried to tell him before, kind of like, I can fly, not a girl.
Yes, you have to invite me in.
Yeah.
I do like that she's always cold, too.
Always cold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She says, I forgot what cold feels like the first time they talk.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, Oscar's a dumb guy.
What were you saying about Oscar, though?
There's a couple scenes. So there's bullies and keep bullying him, and then that scene in the pond.
The scene on the pond is a wicked good scene.
Yes. It's just incredible. I love when he hits him, it's from pretty far away, the camera, mm-hmm. and he just whacks him with that like orange pole.
Yes.
And it takes a while for it to
catch
him. But it doesn't even look like that, but he hits him that hard. But then when you get to see him, he's like bleeding out of his ear. And I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, that kid's deaf in one ear now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And Oscar's so happy.
He's pumped.
Yeah.
I was really pumped for Oscar there too, because those kids were dicks.
Yeah. That scene's great. It looks awesome. I like the gym teacher.
Yes. I like that.
Very enthusiastic.
It's all overshadowed by the fact that they find a body at the same time. The little kids.
Yes. Right. Yeah, they do.
Yes.
And then, the pool scene. So this movie came out, did pretty well. It gave a couple guys a bigger platform to go on from here. So Hoyte van Hoytema. So this is 2008. In 2010, he's the cinematographer on The Fighter, which always gets tons of Oscar nominations, before David O. Russell burned all his bridges, I guess. And the director goes on a couple years. So this is sort of his breakthrough, his mainstream-ish breakthrough, gets nominated for a bunch of things. Thomas Alfredson, I want to say. Then a few years after this, he makes Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which if you've never seen,
yeah. I haven't seen, but.
That stars Gary Oldman. Told you we're going to start with Gary Oldman again. And it's awesome. While we're on the director, his next movie after that is a little thing called The Snowman. Starring Michael Fassbender as famous Swedish detective Harry Hull. Apparently it's not as funny, the name in Swedish, but it is to English speaking people. Got a bunch of other famous people in that movie. Famously extremely unfinished the movie was. It came out anyway and essentially ended this dude's career. Anyway, the movie's very unfinished, has been the subject of a lot of like terrible movie podcasts where like, we're going to talk about a terrible movie. So yeah, that guy, the director made this movie, made Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, made that. That was it.
Is the guy, the killer ends up being Tom Hanks? The Snowman?
I don't believe it.
Doing the snow jobs?
You could have saved her, Mr. Police. I gave you all the clues. He's got his little cane. That was a great reference.
Mm-hmm.
Greg and I both looked at each other when he said the snowman.
Yeah, we were just like,
when do we get to say it?
I'm ready.
When I turn. Anyway, so the whole point of that was, the people who made this movie went on to bigger things.
Did the kids do anything else? The kids were both pretty good.
They were really good. I don't know. Maybe they're like the biggest actors in Sweden.
I guess we wouldn't know. We wouldn't know.
The director did, Thomas Alfredson, I think is his name, did make another movie after the Snowman, but it wasn't like, no one in America was told about it. Like it seems like maybe it's over for that guy.
Yeah.
He made two like really well acclaimed movies. This one, all that to say, if there is anything that gets referenced about this movie online, that comes up in, you know, best horror scenes of the last couple decades, whatever, what gets mentioned is the pool scene. The pool scene is really fucking good.
The pool scene's really cool.
It's definitely the best of use of special effects in the movie.
Yep.
By a long shot. And the setup's great. So the kid who's gone deaf in one ear because he got whacked with that orange pole, which I guess had a lot of thwip to it. It knocked the hearing right out of his head.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. And his brother, who seems to be like one of these weird aggro guys, he's back from college or something.
Jail. Seems like it.
Maybe it's Christmas time. Maybe it's August. And this is just what the suburbs of Stockholm look like. Anyway, they tell him like, oh, you got to go to pool time later with one of the bully's friends is kind of pretending to be Oscar's friend and convinces him to go to the pool thing. And so Oscar's in the pool. They make a fire outside to distract the gym teacher who was marching in front of him.
Yeah, he's the only one doing water aerobics.
That is not how you swim.
Yeah, nope.
But whatever. So he goes outside. The brother and the other like lackeys and the bully come in and they tell everyone to leave, and then the setup's great. It's just so shitty. You're like, how's Oscar going to get out of this one? He said, I'm going to hold your head underwater for 3 minutes. If you come before that, I'm going to poke out one of your eyes with a big knife. And this kid seems weird. It looks like he means it. And then it's just that fucking shot of Oscar underwater, and you see all the shit start happening.
And it waits a while, too. He's, like, under there for
a
bit.
He's under there for over a minute, according to the clock. I don't know if it actually is in the movie, but...
Yeah, but, like, you're waiting, like...
Something goes by his face first, and you're like, what's that?
Yeah.
Then my favorite part is when you see the legs kicking and getting thrown back, and then they just go still.
Yes. Getting, like, dragged. Oh.
Not too long after that, you see a decapitated head fall in. And then the arm that was... It's just, like, the perfect punchline, I guess... is when the arm that you realize is now detached just sort of floats by and lets go of Oscar's hair and he gets pulled up by Ely.
Yeah, loved it.
And they just smile at each other. And then it's the train scene. That's the end of the movie.
Yep.
I also like, too, it's more like they don't really show you, like, the whole time, like I said, you know she has, like, powers of some sort. Like, she can fly, but they never show any of it. And I think it's way better that way.
Mm. Yep.
I don't know if she's like turning, like, does she fucking grow wings? Can she just fucking fly? Like, she clearly flew across the pool.
She did.
To drag, and she could drag someone doing
it. She clearly, like, ripped off a guy's head just like that. She's the thing vampires can do a lot.
Yes. Yep.
Always cool when it happens.
So, somehow it ripped his arm off. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
It's a bravura sequence. The movie is pretty slow. I wouldn't necessarily say it's dragging, but you can feel its length by the time you get to this scene. It starts probably around an hour 45 in.
I guess it is kind of a longer movie, but I honestly didn't feel like it was.
Yeah.
I was very
good. Yeah.
Enthralled the whole time.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Look out. If you see him buying any train tickets and having a giant box that he's just like, don't worry about the box.
Don't look in the box. I've been sleeping in the tub.
Yeah.
Did she kill the kid that was sitting in the bleachers? We couldn't tell.
I don't think so.
No, because he's still like whimpering and crying.
Okay, that's awesome.
Because he sat down and was crying. And then, so it ends with, first off, when we got there, what did you guys think about this scene? Because it all of a sudden is this like extremely dynamic, I think just like virtuosically shot sequence. I think it's one of the best sequences in any horror movie of recent times. Like, pretty bar none.
I liked it a lot. I was a bit excited because she had mentioned earlier that, like, I'll keep you safe if they do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she did.
And you know it's building to them doing something. You know what I mean? So the whole time I was like, oh, when is she going to show up? Yeah. So I assumed it was going to be something big. Mm-hmm. And I was not disappointed.
Yeah,
so,
it was good.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just so well thought out to keep it all in one shot like that.
Uh-huh. Ugh. Like I said, the fact that you don't get to see her do any of it is honestly, I think, what I like
yeah,
the most.
Because
the
whole too. Time, because I like, think it, with the way the CGI looks when she's jumping onto people from trees, I don't think you'd want to see her flying across the pool, holding a guy, going like, "Whoa!"
Yeah,
it looks cool from underwater, probably not from above.
And the same thing too is like I wasn't sure what she even could do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I was like, this guy's not gonna be able to like stab her. Is he? You know what I mean? Because the only thing you've seen her do is like legit jump onto somebody and bite them. And like she saw her snap someone's neck after they were dead, basically.
Yeah. And that kid is underwater for that whole time. Seemingly, like unless they're the CGI for that's really good too. But this is he's underwater while this is happening. Mm-hmm. I just mean like for the actor.
Yeah.
It's not 3 minutes, but he is in the water for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for a bit.
And then, yeah. Then the shot of the whole swim center at the end with the dead bodies.
That's
and
a really wide awesome. Shot, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and you know it's very much like patting themselves on the back situation because they hold on it for a while.
They do hold on to it for a while.
And there's just the kids mutilated. Sitting in the bleachers and crying.
Yes, all the mutilated bodies.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Oh, it's so good.
That gym teacher's going to come back in and be like, all right, I called the fire department. What happened here?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that gym teacher, too. I was like, man, he's having a bad day. Goes outside to deal with a fire, comes back in, everyone's dead.
Yeah.
And it's not like dead. It's like ripped to shreds.
Yeah, not just dead. Like, call the FBI dead.
Yeah.
like we need more help than just the local precinct on this one.
He brought the kid skating and found a dead body. Like,
yeah.
This poor guy.
Yeah. Man.
What a weird 10 days maybe for this guy.
Last week, I had to call this mom and tell her kid lost his hearing on a field trip. Now I have to say your other kid lost his head and his arm.
And the same kid that lost his hearing, he's also dead, but not as clear how.
Good news. You don't have to worry about his hearing anymore.
Oh, man. That sequence is so good. And yeah, that's the whole movie. I think we did a good job hitting on main things without actually devolving into just, and then this happened.
What was the deal with his dad? I feel like, or his parents in general. I feel I like
they were divorced.
Yeah, I know.
His dad did have that scene where like the friend comes over and then is his dad an alcoholic maybe? Like,
I think so, yeah.
He busts out the alcohol and he won't interact with him anymore. And he's like, you just have to sit here and watch me and my friend drink now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I couldn't make sense of that.
It's his dad, the first time you see them hanging out, this is like, it seems like he sees his dad on weekends maybe because he's always, the school stuff's always with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you know, they're playing a game or whatever, and they're just having a good time. It seems like he's, you know, content to be around his dad. His dad's being, you know, engaging with him and stuff. And then, yeah, that friend comes over. He won't play the game with him anymore, and he just wants to drink. So, yes, it seems I like that there's all this family stuff that's happening that isn't explicitly called it.
The only thing I got out of those scenes is that it's like almost like a targeted thing, like what real groomers do. Like,
you
pick people who are like ostracized.
Yep,
you got a broken home. They don't have parents that are like super involved. He's ostracized at school. He's like the perfect target, really. If you're gonna like,
yeah, it's interesting.
He doesn't have a lot holding him in. It doesn't take a lot to make him leave with her. You know what I mean?
No, it doesn't take a lot, but like. What's his mom going to do? Because it does seem like his mom is invested in this kid.
Yeah, I couldn't. There was something going on with the mom, too. I couldn't figure that out. Like, I don't know.
I think she just worked a lot. I don't know.
She worked a lot, yeah. But I just mean as far as, like, she was obviously very emotionally invested in, like, where have you been all night kind of stuff.
Yeah.
She obviously didn't care that much, though, because he came home with that big cut on his face. And he was like, I tripped. And she was like, be more careful.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although she was like yelling at him at the end, but I couldn't figure out what, I don't know.
That was when he goes back and I think he's been gone for like over a day.
Sleeps in.
Yeah, because he slept in
Ely's apartment.
That
he sneaks
night.
Out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she's yelling, like is upset, yeah. I think. Yeah.
And I don't know. She seems upset a lot. She was like yelling on the phone she was yelling at the dad on the phone.
Yeah, I think it was just.
Yeah, I don't know.
They don't get along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a broken home. He's ostracized to this.
You guys' parents talk to each other? Because this wasn't hard for me to get.
I got it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I just thought that there was something more happening. I just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. Like I said, I honestly think that's what it is. You have to look at the movie less romantically and more sinisterly, but she's targeting.
Yeah, he's a good target.
He's a good pick.
Or you just look at who's a lonely kid who's practicing standing up to bullies at night in the middle of the snow.
Yeah.
And then from there, you can just assume this kid's parents are involved.
Yeah.
They're not in the picture.
He'll come with me on the train.
Yeah, he will for sure.
I think I was just kind of thrown off because it seemed like the dad was a good dad.
Until that scene.
Until that scene.
Yeah.
Where that was the point.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm wondering, is that because it's Oscar's point of view, you think? Because he thinks that his dad's great until there's alcohol, but I don't know.
I think his dad is seemingly just genuinely a pretty solid dude with until he has any opportunity to drink alcohol and ignore his son.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. It just seemed very abrupt.
Yeah. It seems like a guy who's by the end of Sunday when he's driving Oscar back to his mom is like, oof. Gotta get this kid out of my life for another 5 days.
Yeah.
I'd be drinking too.
Yeah.
Oscar's
yeah.
a nightmare.
Oscar's a fucking nightmare. He's showing up with new cuts, new enemies every day. Yeah.
His vampire bitches.
This kid's getting too powerful. Can't control him. He's gonna be lifting 30 pounds soon.
Any day now. It was when they throw his pants in the toilet, that was fucked up.
That was fucked up. I mean, yeah, not only that, but it's specifically cruel for Sweden.
Yeah,
you gotta walk home in gym shorts.
Yeah, in his boots, his snow boots.
I do want to know what month this is.
That's a good question. I think Ben's right. I think it's August.
Yeah. I was gonna say it was fun having it set in the snow, but this was just a Swedish movie. This wasn't, this wasn't a...
Yeah, you're saying this kind of thing happens all the time. Why'd they have to make a movie about it?
Well, no, I'm like, this... I'm looking at it ooh, this was a choice. And it's no, this is just...
This is what they had to work with.
This is Sweden.
Yeah. So is this a Christmas movie, you think? I want to watch it every year on Christmas.
So anything else we want to say about this movie?
Probably. It was a cool movie.
Yeah.
I agree for sure.
No, know what I like? I like the scene where the cat guy catches her murdering Jock.
Yes. Yeah. So we mentioned the shot away. Of the bridge and then she jumps on him. Yes. But when he collapses into the snow, you see...
From the balcony,
the angle with the bridge kind of blocking his view, but not entirely, not enough.
Yeah, where he gets to kind of see it. But.
Yeah, and he just sort of sits on that, and he's clearly, he used to be part of this drinking group, but now he's very into cats.
Very into cats.
They haven't seen him in 6 months, they say, and he grows and grabs those friends, and by the time they get back, the familiar's already moved the body, and so you think it's going to be one of those things where they're like, this cat guy's crazy, but no, there's a huge puddle of blood under the snow.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was going to be too. It was oh, he's crazy. And they were like, oh no, there's a ton of blood under here.
Yeah. But he doesn't report it then. They don't find the body. And that's what comes out of the ice later that the kids find.
Yes. I like that a lot. I like that they came back to a couple times and he was like, no, I'm not going to talk about this. I'm going to get locked up. I'm going to say I saw a little girl jump on this guy at night from my balcony and murder him. And I was like, that's a good point. And I think that's what got me started thinking. I'm like, 12's not a bad age to be as a vampire. Because if it was an adult, he'd probably just go to the police. You know what I mean? Be like, I watched this dude mug and murder this guy. Instead, he's going to be like, yeah, it was a little tiny girl. And she jumped on him and killed him, I think. And then snapped his neck.
Yeah.
What I kept thinking was going to happen was they kept talking about how there was some kid that attacked him, and I thought that they were going to think it was Oscar.
I was a little worried about that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that didn't end up happening.
That makes sense, too.
Yeah.
If you were Oscar, at what point would you have figured out Ely was a vampire? And would it have been... Because you're like, she's been dropping a lot of hints. She can't eat food.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I forgot. I like that a lot, actually, because I was wondering, I was like, like, yeah, can she eat animal blood instead or something? Like, is there no other options? And as soon as she eats anything else, she just vomits.
Yeah. That's nice, though. Like, she doesn't want to be, like, weird about the candy. She's like, I'll try one.
Yeah.
And it's like, doesn't work.
And then she's like, sorry.
Yeah. And that's when she says, what if I wasn't a girl? Would you still like me? And he's just like, I guess so. Like, okay. Maybe around then, buddy. What point would you have figured it out? And would it have been before you let yourself bleed and drip all the blood right in front of her?
I probably would have been then, because...
Definitely by then. But would there have been a point earlier?
I don't think so, just because in my day-to-day life, I don't suspect people being vampires.
I suppose. Maybe it's when she's sitting alone in the dark, in the cold, without a jacket, and like creepily like jumps down from the playground equipment.
She does move a little weird at that point.
Yeah.
But that's just weird. If I saw that at night, I would not ever in a million years be like, this person's a vampire.
I don't think I'd ever be like, I'm going to talk to this person.
It's an accumulation of things.
It has to be a lot of things for me.
But there had been a lot of things.
There has to be a really lot of things before I'm like, I am going to stand up and accuse someone of being a vampire.
But when you're 12, are you more or less likely to think it's a
vampire?
More
likely to think it's a vampire, less likely to put the pieces together.
Maybe,
yeah. But once you see them on all fours drinking blood off the floor and turning into a different looking person.
You're sold at that point, yeah.
Like, all right, I guess this is a vampire.
At least you figured it out by that point.
Yes. And we mentioned before the scene where he accuses her of being a vampire. He asks her, he doesn't say, you're a vampire.
Yeah,
he goes, are you a vampire? I like that scene where they both have their hands on the window of that door.
It's a cool scene.
Mm-hmm.
No reason. The door's like,
I like that she mentions open, that she's looks cool. Rich at that point too. And she's got like
fucking loaded
ancient treasures and stuff, as all vampires do, right? I did like that a lot.
Me too. It's good.
Yes. Not that 12-year-olds can rent apartments though.
This is the 80s. They don't check.
No, the dude rented the apartment.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. That's why I'm saying one of the downsides of being a 12-year-old vampire.
Oh, clearly, you can buy a train ticket and board alone as a 12-year-old. So.
Yes, I did think.
Europe, right?
That is, I mean, it's a definitely a train-heavy culture.
Yeah. You can just board the train with your body-sized box.
If I remember correctly, what I know about rail maps in Europe, it's like one stop from Sweden to the far eastern edge, and that gets you like 20 points. Have you ever played Ticket to Ride Europe?
Oh no, I haven't.
The longest route goes from like the top of Scandinavia all the way to like the eastern edge that they have on the map of Russia.
We haven't played the Europe one.
I haven't played the Europe one.
The Europe one's way better.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's a lot better. Anyway, that joke didn't land, so we'll move on.
Sorry.
Yep, we had Ticket to Ride and someone stole it.
Was it Kyle?
I don't know, maybe.
Somebody
he has it. He has multiple Ticket to Rides if you need one.
Does he? He did steal it.
I think he's always looking to buy more.
Maybe it was him.
No, I don't think so. Someone borrowed it and never gave it back.
Yeah.
But we don't know who it was.
Yeah.
We can't remember.
That's right.
So, no one can borrow.
If you're out
there,
give us our Ticket to Ride back.
I'm gonna cut out the part where my joke didn't land, so it'll just be whatever we talked about, and then that, and then that, like that's a PSA. I have to keep it.
Yeah,
yeah. Just cut it in with like the nonsense about Bagul and
we're talking about Bagul and the Matrix, and I'm just blurring out.
You're crazy if you think the Bagul's getting cut.
No, it's not getting cut. That's gonna be in there. We're gonna talk about the Matrix.
I'm just saying, I could try to cut Bagul. Bagul's gonna be in the recording. If I know anything about Sinister, it's that Bagul shows up in things that are recorded right when you don't want him to.
How is he gonna show up in a podcast though?
What's he sound like in the movie?
He doesn't speak. So
he's just imagery.
You're just gonna get it.
It's me, Bagul.
It's a me.
Yeah, he talks like Charles Martinet's Mario.
Oh wow, I did not expect your voice to sound like that.
Weird.
It's a murder. I don't know what he does.
Nothing, really.
No, he doesn't do much.
Here's some creepy images.
He just shows up.
Maybe some girls are hanging or something. Does that happen in the movie?
Yeah, you got to watch it.
It's a good movie, actually.
It's good. It's got a good concept. And now you can laugh about it.
I thought at the end of the N64 one, because it's an old game and it just stops on the screen of like Mario and Peach, and Peach is like, thank you, Mario. And then like it freeze frames and Charles Martinet goes, I thank you for playing my game. Yes. And is that what Bagul says at the end of the movie?
Thank you for watching
the
movie.
That's the end of the movie. Yeah.
It all stays. As you can tell, we like this movie a lot. You said your favorite horror is The Shining.
Yeah.
And not just because of the snow. But I do feel like a lot of this movie reminds me of that too. Just in the stillness of a lot of it.
Yeah.
Not in the same... It's not really the same genre of horror.
No.
Or intensity. It's not about the same things. But I just mean the vibes and the stillness.
It's got snow, so it's the same.
Yes, that too.
And the snow.
Pacing and just feels like a thing you can hang out in. And there's not like a shrill violins going like, wah! And then you look and there's like a guy going, boogity woogity, you know.
Yeah.
There's Bagul.
It's Bagul again.
No, but this was a very interesting type of horror. It, like I said, it was not very scary, but, and I was actually looking this time, I was like, you know what, this is like, it's October, like this will be my scary movie I watch, you know what I mean? Like I'll get the shit scared out of me. And it wasn't scary, which was kind of a pleasant surprise.
I thought that was the point.
What?
We could have done something scarier if you wanted. I thought you wanted an unscary one.
No, well, I don't generally watch scary movies because I'm a wimp, but
it's
'tis the season kind of thing.
Mm.
Yeah, this isn't a scary movie.
No, it wasn't scary. But I did just really like what it did have for horror. I don't know.
I agree.
It was very interesting.
Yeah, I love this movie.
I keep thinking about which it has like total opposite vibes, but kind of the same story of Warm Bodies. Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen it, but I'm aware.
Yeah. Makes me think of that.
Yeah,
because it's a weird like creature.
Oh yeah, that one's like romance,
teenage
right?
romance,
yeah, romantic horror.
Yeah,
it might be under that genre, romantic horror.
Yeah, it might be.
A lot of vampire stuff in general is under
romantic horror. That's true.
Certainly, Bram Stoker's Dracula by Francis Ford Coppola, very romantic movie. Also, horror.
Yeah.
Do you want to get to ratings?
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
All right, let's go to ratings. On a scale of 0.5 to 5, on any scale of your choosing, going up by halves, any scale besides stars, what would you give 2008's Thomas Alfredson-directed Hoyte van Hoytema-Schat, Let the Right One In?
I'm going to give it... This was an interesting one for me, because yesterday I was going to say it was 3 or 3.5, and then I thought about it, and today I think I'm going to give it 4.5. Severed heads in the pool, out of 5.
So 4 heads and an arm, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that makes a half.
Yeah. Or maybe one of the heads is that guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's half. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that you have to sit with it to think, because I had already like locked my rating in yesterday, actually. I'm going to give it 4.5 out of 5 weird smelling girls.
Yeah, he's got no game at all.
You smell funny. It's interesting that she smells funny. I wonder what she smells like. I feel like she smells like death.
Death?
I think, she only smells when she's hungry.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's what,
For me, this is, we'll be in the hand-holding club, 4.5 pints of blood out of 5. Specifically, pints of blood drained from a guy hanging upside down in the woods, and then Ricky the dog comes over and fucks up my whole sneeze.
I think they refer to it as being tapped, which I did not like.
Yeah, not great. Right, he's hanging on the tree too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I guess it makes sense, tapped.
Yeah.
Anyway, did not like.
So yeah, we're all 4.5 out of 5. Liked this movie a lot. I'm glad. I thought it would be a good match for you guys, because I do feel like it has a lot in common with the kinds of movies that y'all watch, at least for Oscar season.
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised with this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I feel like vampires feel very overdone, and this one
it's different.
Yeah.
It is different.
Very fresh.
It was. So I was very surprised.
Yeah. Great movie. Trying to get better at doing this, and I think we finally got into a flow of what can be the connective tissue. I've been asking a question. each month the same question for each episode. This month, the question is, do you believe in the paranormal? And have you ever had a paranormal? Oh my God, I started dying.
Oh, so here it is.
So this one's going to be my answer.
Yeah, it's Fagul.
Or have you? It's fucking Fagul. I got to keep all the Fagul stuff now. So the questions this month, in case
take
I could have to make a clean
take
count.
Take it all out except for that.
It's Fagul. Okay. The questions this month. Kind of a two-parter. Do you believe in the paranormal, and have you ever had any paranormal encounter or run-in?
That's easy. Do you believe in the paranormal, and have you had any encounters? No, and yes.
Or I guess any you've heard of from a friend or something.
No, we had one. Our first apartment was haunted.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I believe in ghosts, but if I did believe in ghosts, I would say that that apartment was haunted.
But what apartment is this?
It was in Somerset. Was our first apartment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were only in there like a year and a half.
Yeah.
It was really a little tiny shitty apartment. The top floor of this small house. And it was just creepy. First of all, it was clearly like years and years ago, like most houses in Somerset, like converted or something. And like the rooms didn't quite make sense. And like it honestly looked like someone had built the whole place themselves, like a lot of older.
And you were just on the top floor?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It was like a two-story house. Like the landlord lived on the first floor. We lived on the second floor. But yeah, it was like an old house. And yeah, like very clearly not supposed to be purposed for the way it was. And like things were just very odd about it. Like there was a room, like a bedroom where there was a closet, but like the ceiling was cut out so that the closet door could open up.
Like it had to be, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the ceiling was angled a bit there.
Yeah, it was like a slanted ceiling, but they like cut into the roof so that the door could open.
Jeez.
Like weird things like that. The outlets were all strange. Like there was no overhead lights.
Yeah, so it was just a weird apartment in general.
That's weird.
And I feel like as soon as I moved in, it was like, I don't know. Anytime I was like alone in there, I always felt wicked uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that got us the most is in the living room, which was an very... So I think one of the parts that made everything feel uneasy is the rooms were not shaped right. Like this was not a normally shaped room.
Yeah.
Like the angles were fucked up in a bunch
like,
of spots.
It was they weren't right angles?
No.
Zero things were level in this apartment.
Worse than that. So it was like two flat sides. Like, you know, the wall in front of you and the wall behind you were fine. But then on the left side, it was like an octagon, basically. Okay. Right? With some windows. But on the other side, the wall to your right was like angled well, instead of like being a 90 degree, it's like fucking way off. It has too many doors and like paths going through it to other rooms. You know what I mean? Like there were rooms that had two doors that you could like circle it basically for some weird reason. And you'd be in that living room and it just didn't feel right. And I remember there was one time where me and Ray were just sitting like on the couch and there was a closet in that room. Everything was super old, like those really old school doors, the old school doorknobs. Yeah. And we're sitting there and all of a sudden, like you hear like a popping kind of noise and like coming from the closet and you look and the knob turned and it like undid the latch basically on it.
Like
and
you hear the latch like click.
It clicks and the knob turns a little bit and it opens out. So it just goes like as it pops off, it goes and just opens the tiniest bit. And like a few seconds goes by and it just opens a bit more and then it just stops.
It swings open like the whole way.
Yeah. I forgot. And then it eventually.
And like the inside of the closet was like unfinished, you know, like it was like wood inside. And
that one was kind of deep too.
And it was really deep and dark. There wasn't a light in it.
And it just swings open and it was fucking scary. And then just like every now and then it would just do that. Not often.
Oh, that's just the thing that happens.
And Will was over one night and he slept on the couch and he had never seen it happen before. We woke him in the morning and the door was barricaded. In the middle of the night, it had popped open on him and he barricaded the door closed. Like he had pushed like furniture or something in front of it. Mm-hmm. A chair, I think.
Yeah, he moved the furniture in front of it.
Or the end table.
And we're like, oh, we forgot to tell you that happens.
I eventually did figure out what was going on with it. It was like, because all the angles were fucked up everywhere, sometimes it did not close 100% and the latch didn't actually catch.
It was off by like a millimeter, if that. Like,
but it seemed like it did. And so it would just take forever for it to slowly slide back. And when it finally slid back enough, all at once, it would like push itself back. It would push the latch in, and because it was old, that turns the knob. As like, so it would turn its own knob a little bit when it pushed the latch in. It would pop out a little. And because all the angles were fucked up everywhere, when you opened it, it would just finish swinging out eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But that apartment was just very creepy in general.
Yeah, there was like definitely a time that I was in the kitchen and I thought that like, you were home, and because I felt like somebody was there.
That's the feeling I'd get all the time. You know, when there's just someone else around, you
can't. 100%.
And then I turn around and there was nobody there. That was like the creepiest moment ever. Like I really thought that it was you and you were not even in the apartment.
Had you heard someone come in, or was just the vibe?
I thought like somebody was like breathing near me. And like I turn around and there's no one there. I was like, ooh, I don't like that.
I would just get vibes a lot that like someone else is there.
But I think that's just like, I don't believe in ghosts. Like I think that's like an old house thing. You know, like whenever like, I don't know, like places like that where like nothing is level, like nothing, everything's like settling, things make noises.
I think that was the biggest problem, was that the place was just unsettling because it was not how you wanted things. You know what I mean? Yeah,
you were literally off balance.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I did also have another ghost story that like wasn't a ghost story and probably should have been where I was driving in Newport home from work, and I saw like an old woman wearing a nightgown like in the broad daylight, like in the street. And I was like, what? And I kept driving and I was terrified to look in my rearview mirror because I knew she was going to be gone. And I looked in the rearview mirror and she was still there. And my immediate thought should have been to turn around and help this lady. But instead it was, thank God that's a real person.
Jeez. Man.
So that should have been a ghost story.
That should have been a ghost story.
Not.
Yeah. Let's take this Chevy to the levee. Okay. Thank you for podcasting today, Ray and Greg.
Anytime.
Yeah.
And as always, as I've always said, thank you for inviting me to your lovely home to podcast.
You may come in.
Thank you. You literally did. It doesn't work that way. Okay. Yeah. So that about does it for us. You can find all our stuff on Linktree. That's linktr.ee/late-to-the-movies. Just spell it out. No numbers needed. You can find our website, our Instagram, our TeePublic page. Buy a shirt with Greg's face on it. Again, I know you already have. Get it 5 more for the holidays. It's kind of green. Maybe it's a Frankenstein thing. I don't know. Wear it to a Halloween party. Sort of Halloween colors.
Yeah.
Why not? Anyway, that does it for us here today. I was going to say a joke in Swedish. Remembered I don't know Swedish, so, you know.
Something about IKEA.
Do your insensitive Swedish voice.
I'm like flinging a chicken around or something, chopping vegetables, and the vegetables are like, "Don't chop me." That's a Muppets thing, right?
No, that's a Sweden thing.
That's Sweden. I heard Stockholm's lovely. And on that note. The suburbs in the 80s with the vampires running around, no thanks. But I guess the city proper, you know, you go to that old part, go to the palace, go to that outdoor moose museum or something, and they got that old boat you can go see.
Stockholm syndrome?
I could only think of that the whole time.
Yeah.
Stockholm syndrome, that's good. That means you're happy now, right? In a way, in a sense.
Wait, is that what this movie is?
Stockholm syndrome.
Kind of is. Maybe. It's a stretch.
I'm going to play that one song by Muse called Stockholm Syndrome over the end credits.
Perfect.
But only a legal amount, so probably only about 4 seconds. Here it is. Take it away, Muse. That's the end of the episode. I don't know. Thanks, guys.
Anytime. See ya.
Bye.
That's all I can do. If I play the actual thing, I'll get sued.